What's up, everybody? Kyle Morello here, intern at the John DiBella Show, and today we had a great podcast for you guys. First things first, we debated about sports movies. John saw an article about the top 30 sports movies of all time. John, Steve, and Dave debated that. Next things next, Samuel L. Jackson got arrested. At least we think the right Samuel L. Jackson, or the wrong Samuel L. Jackson. You'll hear that next. The Hart sisters were featured in Song Stories. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame released their nominees, and let's see who got snubbed. Long Song Wednesday this week featured a Rolling Stones song, and the guys debated the best debut albums of all time on today's Daily Podcast.
But I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you a sports question.
Hit me.
Nothing that's going on in sports. It actually, it's more of a sports film question.
All right.
Actually, it is a sports film question.
Okay.
All right. What for you is the greatest sports film ever made?
Oh, man.
There's a lot to choose from.
I immediately go to Remember the Titans.
Okay. All right.
But that said with a question mark, because then I got to think about Rookie of the Year.
Big
Thank
League.
Thank you. Now you're in the Sandlot.
The Sandlot,
absolutely.
All right, I hate
sports movies, to be honest.
Yeah, they're really,
You can't match the drama of real sports.
Well, then let me ask you this, all right? And maybe we'll keep this going a little later on this morning.
All right.
Is the Sandlot and Caddyshack, are they sports movies, or are they just movies based around sports? I mean, it's all about childhood in the Sandlot and growing up and friends and all of that stuff, right? It's not, you know, and it's based around baseball.
Well, and then in the same vein, you could say that Remember the Titans is about race relations.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah, but it's always at its core about football.
Well, I mean, isn't the Sandlot at its core about? This is an argument we can have for hours.
All right. Well, then, is Caddyshack a sports movie?
No, I said comedy.
Right?
Golf is the backdrop.
Yeah.
It's a stupid comedy.
I'm there with Dave. Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe we don't have to go any further with this. I said I wanted to get back to this because I was asking some questions earlier this morning about the greatest sports movies ever. There are endless lists like this, and they all tend to be different from each other. But this is a new one that just came out from Men's Health, the 30 greatest sports movies. And the top 10 were Raging Bull, The Sandlot, The Hustler, Caddyshack, Rudy, Hoop Dreams, Rocky, Remember the Titans, Miracle, and A League of Their Own. Now, I contend that Caddyshack is not a sports movie.
Okay, and we're not really in that much of a disagreement, I think, between
the
three of us.
It's a comedy that just happens to be based around sports. And The Hustler.
Yeah.
This is the 1961 version.
Yeah, I've never seen this. What is this? A pool movie?
A pool movie, okay. Yeah. It's Paul Newman, Jackie Gleason. Jackie Gleason plays Minnesota Fats, right? And you know, and it comes down to, you know, one trying to hustle the other.
Blah, blah, blah.
Are they both sports movies?
I would put Caddyshack as closer to a sports movie than Pool.
Uh-huh.
Because Pool's a game. It involves skill. I get that. But
yeah, I agree.
You could be 350 pounds and be a good pool player.
Right.
It's a barroom game. I put it right next to Photo Hunt, pretty much.
Well, some will say to you, well, wait, ping pong's a game, and that's in the Olympics. Right, you know, but then we might as well put foosball in.
Yeah, I would actually, I would replace either one of them and put a movie like Bull Durham in, which is
okay. What would you, if you were going to replace one of those two, what would you do?
I'd take out Caddyshack and I'd put in the Mighty Ducks. You heard
all
me.
All right, that doesn't.
You heard me.
Dave's opinion obviously doesn't matter.
Quack. To be honest
quack.
With you, I'm
quack, 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 quack.
See, I knew
quack.
You were my team, Steve.
Millennials unite.
Of course, you millennial bastards think Mighty Ducks is a sports
you
movie.
Heard me.
All right, sure.
More than a Caddyshack.
Right. Well, a double feature for you, that and the Sandlot. Oh, boy, I'm just right back to my childhood.
Angels in the outfield, Mabel.
But they're more sports than either of those two movies, than Caddyshack or The Hustlers.
All right. I'd put Field of Dreams in.
Oh, that's a good one.
I'd put Field of Dreams in. I mean, like, come on. I mean, you can't get
one
more
of the most misquoted lines in movie history. What is it? From that movie, what's the tagline?
What
is it?
He's coming.
What movie were you watching?
If you build it, he will come. Right?
You got it. Most people say they will come.
They will come. Yeah. Right. If you rub it, that's a whole other thing.
That's where we started out. Good catch.
What were we doing?
Steve, you shouldn't have said anything.
It's too easy. I don't even remember what we're talking about.
So what, are we all in agreement that Caddyshack is not a sports movie?
Yeah, sure.
And that The Hustler is not a sports movie.
Right.
All right. Well, I was going to do a five call with Caddyshack, but now you're making it two different things.
Hmm. Let's do Caddyshack, because I think a lot of people would say, no, it's a golf movie through and through. Uh-huh. It is the golf movie, a lot of people would say.
Or which one of them is a sports movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, do it that way. Okay, between the two, between The Hustler and Caddyshack, five calls says it all.
Nice.
215-263-WMGK. Which one of these is a sports movie?
Correct.
All right. So 215-263-WMGK. Is it The Hustler or is it Caddyshack? Which one of them is really a sports movie?
The John DeBella Podcast.
Don't ever, ever, ever touch
John DeBella.
You understand?
Philadelphia's classic rock, 102.9.
Don't touch it!
MGK.
Samuel L. Jackson got arrested. I don't know if you heard about this.
Yeah.
You didn't hear about it?
Cursing in public?
Well, Samuel L. Jackson got himself in trouble with the law in Palm Bay, Florida. Well, I guess I should clarify this. It's not that Samuel L. Jackson, right? It's another one.
Mother.
Well, he got arrested for a DUI and became irate. And it is very possible, from what the police are saying, that he threw out a couple of MFers.
It is him.
Yeah, you know, so it's very possible that it could have been Samuel just doing one of his...
How come you college motherfuckers think y'all run everything? You owe me some money, motherfucker. You motherfucker talking about. Motherfucker, I ate everything. Motherfucker, I'll chew his ass up.
You're a smart motherfucker. English motherfucker.
We're not gonna store the motherfucker. I'm on the motherfucker.
I'm a mushroom cloud laying motherfucker.
Do you know what it took to put this together?
Tour rat may taste like pumpkin pie, but I never know because I wouldn't eat the filthy motherfucker.
Not to get into another debate, but is there any other human that says MF or better than Samuel L. Jackson?
No. There's no debate there at all.
The John DeBella Podcast.
He's not the bazaar. He's a very naughty boy.
Philadelphia's
classic rock, 102.9 MGK.
You know the bands. You know the songs. This is the history behind them. Classic Rock 102.9 MGK presents... Song Stories.
Song Stories being brought to us by Robbins de Bellaware Diamonds, self-serve ring cases, and absolutely no sales tax. That's Robbins de Bellaware Diamonds. You know, every time we have spoken to any of the women from Heart, we've always somehow touched on what it was like for them coming up in the world, being female rockers, right? And at a time where there was a limited amount of them. I mean, Janis was already gone, all right? The Runaways were barely known. Joan wasn't out on her own yet. There weren't a lot of female rockers, and they dealt with a lot of male crap during that time. And Even It Up is really about a lot of that. And, here's Nancy talking about that very thing and how this was more of a garage rocker than it was what they were actually going to try to do.
Even It Up is still a great garage-type song. When we were making Baby LaStrange, that was our idea. Kind of get back to the less produced type sound. The riff was originally going to be another acoustic solo, but it was so bluesy we just couldn't help but write a song around it, and especially at a time when Ann and I were getting really frustrated with the men in our world. The whole idea of Even It Up was really, come on, give me a break here, I'm an equal here.
The American people are sick and tired of hearing about
John DeBella.
Sick and tired of hearing about
the John DeBella Podcast.
Too big to fail is too big to exist.
102.9 MGK.
With yesterday's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, if you didn't hear who got nominated, all right, Pat Benatar, Dave Matthews Band, Depeche Mode, the Doobie Brothers, Whitney Houston, Judas Priest, Kraftwerk, MC5, Motorhead, Nine Inch Nails, Notorious B.I.G., Rufus featuring Chaka Khan, Todd Rundgren, Soundgarden, T-Rex, and Thin Lizzy. You want to hear some of the people who got passed over again this year? Are you ready? Mm-hmm. Iron Maiden, Emerson, Lake & Palmer, Warren Zevon, Jethro Tull, Megadeth, Scorpions, Twisted Sister, New York Dolls, Slayer, Bad Company, Procol Harum, Peter Frampton, Ozzy Osbourne on his own, Styx, Captain Beefheart. Well, most people, that's never going to happen. All right.
Is that a cartoon?
Right. Chic, Devo, The J. Giles Band, Jane's Addiction, Pixies, Rage Against the Machine, Smith, Sonic Youth, and Motley Crue, who...
Motley Crue, wow, I forgot about them.
Motley Crue, they put up a thing on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame website, who would you vote in? The number one vote-getter was Motley Crue. They didn't come up for nomination.
I mean, every album was multi-platinum.
It is.
Maybe they need to expand the inductees each year to 10 or something like that.
Well, they do 6 or 7, depending upon the year.
Oh, 14.
Again, and let's go back in time. It's like, right, why are the Dixie Hummingbirds in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? As wonderful singers as they were.
Don't be surprised if that becomes the Music Hall of Fame at some point.
I wish it would, because I'm so sick of people... Right. Making that claim.
Who's
not rock and roll? We get it.
Yeah, we know
but
they're not.
We've accepted. Don't be semantic about it. Right. We know it's a Music Hall of Fame.
A new president rock or whatever, right?
Right, yeah, they do have a new president.
I mean, rock was pop back in the day.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, so
that's why it is.
All right. Well, we've got Long Song Wednesday to do, so we're done with that debate.
The John Bell Podcast. John DeBella.
But we got into a conversation after yesterday in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We started talking about music in general and came across a list of the greatest debut albums of all time. And we started debating it amongst ourselves. So we figured, you know what, why not get everybody involved? And people are sending in, great choices. Great. I mean, George Harrison's All Things Must Pass. Right, Jimi Hendrix Experience, the original Chicago album, the CTA album. We all have ours, and if you want to put your two cents in, text it on into us to MGK at 645-645. But what I would like to do this morning is have a debut debate.
Okay.
We'll all pick one album, all right, and then let the listeners choose which of those three is the best debut album. What are you starting with, Steve?
Boston.
Boston. Ooh. Boston won.
Good pick.
Oh,
Boston,
good pick.
By Boston.
All right.
An album that went gold in 3 weeks. In 3 months, it went platinum and has since gone 17 times platinum.
It's insane.
It was something that had really never been heard that before, before that came out. And if you look at the album, 5 of the 8 songs are massive and still get play. More Than a Feeling, Peace of Mind, 4-Play, Long Time, Rock and Roll Band, Smokin'.
Is that all side one?
That is, it's More Than a Feeling, Peace of Mind, 4-Play, Long Time is side one.
Wow.
Yeah. And then you start off side two with Rock and Roll Band and Smokin'. So, yeah, Boston.
All right. Nice. Well, if you agree with Steve, text one to MGK. Steve's going with Boston. What are you going with, Dave?
I'm going with the best-selling debut album of all time, GNR's Appetite for Destruction.
Mm-hmm.
18 million sold in the U.S., 30 million worldwide. I've always considered them sort of like the quintessential rock band.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the sex, drugs, rock and roll ethos lives with GNR. The album's killer, front to back, all killer, no filler. It kicked out all the poser pop metal bands of the time, your Warrants, your Slaughters, your Whitesnake, and really brought back a raw rock feeling to the airwaves. And it's just nothing's more rock and roll than this. Axl's banging a groupie in one of the songs. You can hear it in the studio. Appetite. Best debut of all time.
All right. If you agree with Dave on GNR Appetite for Destruction, just text 2 to MGK. Both fantastic choices. I'm going back further because I can.
Sure.
All right. And I know what the world was like when the first Doors album came out. I'm going with the Doors debut album. Here's a band that was nothing more than the house band at Whiskey A Go Go.
Yeah.
Right, they put together, they get fired because they perform The End on stage.
Wow.
All right, and they were told, don't ever perform that song. The manager had heard it, don't ever perform that song. They did it on stage, they were fired that night, and soon after, they explode. That album, Break On Through, Soul Kitchen, Crystal Ship, Light My Fire, Backdoor Man, and The End, that's a lot. I didn't check on how many albums they've sold, but something tells me they might have outsold both of your choices. So if you agree with me and The Doors is the best of the three debut albums, text 3 to MGK, MGK. That's 645, 645. So it's 1 for Boston, 2 for GNR, 3 for The Doors to MGK, MGK. And when we return, we'll find out what you had to say. The John DeBella Show. It is a Wednesday morning, and we've got a vote going on here. This is a tight vote.
Yeah,
you know,
very.
I mean, it is really, really a tight vote, and it really has come down to two bands and about 8 votes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you know, and people probably still have time to vote.
Nope, they shut it down. Actually, the polls closed. 8:20.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
You put a closing time in
yep.
on it.
Yep.
All right. Well, then I might as well hit the timpani and say that it's come down between the three. And I gave you a good run for your money there, Steve.
You sure did.
All right. 41-43%. Steve beat me by 6 votes? 7
yeah,
votes?
8 votes.
8 votes?
Yeah. No,
all right.
6 votes.
Right?
6 votes.
It seems that it is, in fact, according to our listeners, the best of these three as a debut album, Boston, GNR, and The Doors is Boston.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as you picked that, I knew that the two of us really didn't stand a chance.
All right. The John DeBella Podcast.
I like to picture Jesus as a ninja. Fighting off evil samurai.
Philadelphia's classic rock.
Oh, my sweet Jesus.
102.9.
That's right.
MGK.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.